Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I don't know what episode we are.
Stop, I'm joined stop counting.
By, yeah, we've stopped counting. I'm joined by Rumaj. Hello, Rumaj.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. I don't... I'm not happy.
No.
My train journey was hijacked by a stranger.
The worst.
Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I was just about to get the train.
Yeah.
Somebody came up to me, started talking to me, and then decided he's going to join me for the whole journey.
Did you tell him early on what your train stop was?
He asked me where I was going. I said London Bridge, and he said me too.
So you can't get off?
No. And also, we had to go take about 3 trains. And also, I'm not convinced he really did want to go to London Bridge. I think he changed
his
journey.
He was only going one stop.
Yeah. I think he was getting to Catwick. And he was just desperate to have a chat. It was the fucking worst. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. Good. What do you think of this chat?
It's a good start.
Cool.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
Listen, I am absolutely when I say over the moon, I mean it. The most exciting talent in UK hip hop, I think. Ocean Wisdom, how you doing, mate?
Hey, big up, Ron.
Mate, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Pleasure, man.
I'm coming straight out of Brighton. A crazy motherfucker named Wizzy. Sirens in the city like I'm rolling around with Izzy. You was in the basement with a plex, I'm getting picky. I was in the basement with a couple apes, I'm getting sticky. Making a brother go high pitch. What are these men are telling me that when I get on the mic, it's a hype thing. Vibes in, don't want to hit no violin. Big beat from the diet like 666, that time again. Look.
Listen, your album is the best thing I've heard in ages, man. I love it. I properly love it.
Hey, wicked.
How's it going down?
It's good, man. It's going well. We've just been, like, touring and just, you know, promoting it. And once you drop it, there's, like, that's when the work starts, you know what I mean? So just going around, doing the rounds.
When you put out an album, is there any element of you that's sort of shitting yourself about the reception? Or did you know that you were sitting on a good record?
There's, like, so much less pressure when you're... before you're like known and established, because it's like you have your whole life to make your first album, and not everyone's listening at that particular time, so you think, well, if it's good enough, it'll get the attention, and if it's not good enough, it'll just kind of fizzle under the like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just won't really matter, so the pressure's less, I think. And when you got a second album, it's like, oh, okay, you got something to live up to now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always confident, but the pressure wasn't really on for me. I was just like, I'll make it sick and it'll do the job.
So were you excited when it was about to come out?
Yeah, definitely. And like a lot of work went into it. Like, we kind of built up the ammo, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so like we were dropping it consistently every sort of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we kind of watched the hype build up. And then when we dropped it, it was just like the reception was mad. So yeah, I was excited, definitely. Mad excited.
Do you have a situation where like, this album, when this album came together, did you have like loads of tracks and you picked your favourites, or how did it work? Or did you have an idea of like doing it as one unit or what?
Because that's the thing, what I mean, like when you have your whole life to make the first album, like some of those lyrics and ideas were sort of formed when I was like 15, 16,
right.
I was writing lyrics. So like, there were certain, not full lyrics, but just certain ideas that were formed when I was 16. So, you know, you get to like 20 and or 19 or whatever, and you're like, okay, I've got like my new stuff, what I'm working on, and that's going to be in the album. But also, there's certain things that like define me as like an artist that I have to include. It just so happened that I wrote that when I was 16, and like that's like the skeleton of the song, maybe.
Yeah.
But then you know, you make it better with your experience.
Do you feel like you get... because obviously, one of your strongest... I mean, people, your flow is just insane, right? And, like, you're sort of... it's amazing. It's like... and you sort of mix it up and stuff like that. So do you find that you are getting better? Like, do you... so will you write a new bit and go, that's the best thing I've got. Or,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's the thing. Flow is so measurable. Like, it's different. When you've got, like, a good lyric, it's hard to measure it.
Yeah.
It's quite subjective, whereas flow is a lot less subjective. It's like, oh, no, that's kind of good or it's not, sort of thing. So I understood the flow. That was the hardest thing, was, like, understanding, like, the art of it. And once you understand it, you can just build on it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, that's what I'm doing at the moment.
So you feel like you're sort of learning as you go, sort of thing?
Literally, I feel like it's almost like, imagine you're doing like a kick-up or something with a football and you learn around the world, and then next thing you learn, you want to put a little twist on it. That's the same thing when you, like, you get a flow or like a specific syllabic pattern that you like, and then you just like edit it, tweak it, make it better, cut a bit out, bring it back in 4 bars later or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird, like, but... it's proper, like, it's quite an introverted sort of, it's quite intern, like, I have this whole method and this whole thing going on when I sit down and I do it.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to explain, but that was, like, the hardest thing to develop for me personally, was, like, knowing, being sure what was good and what wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can relate to that, Ramesh.
Yeah, I
didn't.
Your
approach to comedy is very similar.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. It's different to yours, Ocean, in terms of... what I do is I just threw a load of shit at the wall and hope that something stuck, basically. And then
since you were 16.
Since I was 16. Yeah. Well, actually, my first gig, mate, now that you're asking, I was 9. So
9?
Yeah, Pontins Holiday Camp.
Oh, yeah. What did you open with?
I opened with, well, I did the whole set in a Sri Lankan accent.
Ah. And it was a character.
Safe bet.
It was a character.
The safe bet.
It was a character. And by the way... if you want to do that, Ocean, like, just drop a track in a Sri Lankan accent. Honestly, it adds something. And none of the material was my own as well. I took it from a joke book. But I won.
Great.
Here's a little bit that we like to call. How did you get into hip-hop?
I want to ask you, how old are you?
23 now.
23 now. So that's...
I've aged since that conversation.
Offensively,
you had the other
week, offensively
ago.
Young. What made you get into hip hop as opposed to anything else? Sort of, how did it happen? Because you're from Brighton, right?
Yeah, yeah. What made me get into hip hop? Well, I have, like, in my family, it's like quite, I don't know, my dad used to listen to a lot of reggae, and like, there would always be, like, you know, some certain reggae songs, at the beginning of the song, you have some man just doing some crazy chant to introduce the song.
Yeah.
And that was always the bit that I would always know that bit.
Yeah.
Of these random songs that he would play. And then, like, it developed into... I used to listen to Razel, the beatboxer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. One, two.
I just thought it was mad when I was a kid. And I liked Eminem, and I liked rap in general. And then I got into Razel. I started beatboxing loads, and that's why I kind of like it. Kind of, it was a natural progression onto hip hop because I loved hip hop. I loved doing, like, sort of making funny noises with your mouth and stuff.
Yeah.
But then you get to a certain age, and you're like, I've got to, like, make some. If I want to make some music, I can't just, like, do it with beatboxing. I need to, like, make the actual track. And I always wanted to rap, so, like, it was just a natural progression. But, like, it's always been in my family.
Did you ever, like, what sort of artists, like hip hop artists, did you sort of grow up liking?
Definitely, as like a young kid, what was accessible to me was people like Eminem.
Yeah.
A little bit Wu-Tang and stuff like that. But to be fair, I was like obsessed with fast rap,
right.
So it would only really be like Busta Rhymes and Eminem that was assist, like, super accessible to me.
Yeah.
Then I got to an age where I started doing a bit of, like, internet surfing, and I, like, found out about Tech N9ne and a couple of other people that are just, like, mad quick flows. I got into that. Say hello to Tech N9ne. Everybody wanna be down with a nigga, women get a whip of the money, thinking of taking it from me, they get up in the club, giving the love, throwing the pussy full of liquor and bud. Booty hopping around, up in the mode, get to looking around, every hole when I look a nigga low. Infatuated with niggas with dough, get them in a second, try to make them let it go. Tech N9ne. But then I kind of grew out of that and just kind of, like, wanted to, like, just have that as a aspect of my rap arsenal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to just, like, be known as, like, a fast rapper or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that would be a little aspect.
Because I was going to ask you about that, because you sort of got, like, I guess kind of mainstream media sort of hate because people said that you were the... You come out... I can't remember what track it was, but somebody said, oh, this guy's as fast as Eminem, or it's faster than Eminem. Or,
yeah.
And it was, like, I think it was, like, in the Metro or something like that, was it? Or
yeah,
was it?
That was kind of crazy. Basically, like, that was just... like, I still, the maths is kind of lost on me, but basically, if you take away, if you work out the average words per second or something, is that what it is? Something like that.
We also, so I should say, we're joined by Putnam, who's Ocean's DJ. Sorry, he hasn't, I didn't want you to feel Putnam that I'm leaving you out. Yeah, but they're sharing a mic, so it's very difficult. He's been sitting, sort of being polite.
Speak when spoken
to. I saw him getting nervous about drinking from the bottle in case that came up on the recording. But don't worry, mate. Everything's included. Sorry, but I should mention he's here.
Yeah, hello, everyone. Yeah, the walking thing, what was that? That was, I think it was the amount of words per second, excluding the intro and the chorus. It's quite specific.
It's like a specific thing, but then, like, because obviously there's loads of people that have rapped, like, real fast on a song and that, but it had to fit the criteria and it had to have charted. And so that's why when, so, like, someone noticed it in, like, my camp or whatever, and then they we tried to get it verified, and then Guinness messaged back, like, we thought they were going to be, like, you know, leave it, whatever. And then they were like, oh, you're onto something. And then they were like, we'll get back to you. And then that's when we messaged, like, UniLad and stuff.
Yeah.
And well, I think they caught on to it because, like, it was, everyone was talking about it in, like, my circle. And then they just sent us a message, like, yeah, we were going to run the story. And then they ran the story. And obviously, with stuff like that, people assume you're trying to say that you're, like, oh, this kid's trying to say he's better than Eminem. What's he saying? It's just well annoying. That's the only thing I don't like about it. Other than that, it's all positive. It's all wicked. But, like...
If you're talking about internet abuse, mate, that's something I can relate to. I mean, I reckon I get called a cunt on Twitter, like, 8 times a day. So don't worry about that, mate. You're in a safe space here.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just, like, people, yeah, they just think, like... They think, like, you know, someone runs the article on you, then that must be you...
You've gone to them and said, listen, I'm better than Eminem, you need to run an article.
Never that. Like, that's on, he's like, I'm a big fan of Eminem, do you know what I mean? It's like inspiration for me. So, like, it was, but it's cool though, because obviously you can imagine from my point of view, like 2 years ago, I was like sat in my room, and then like now people are arguing on my videos over where, who's better out of, and like who, and like people are like, no, like, yeah, okay, old school Eminem, yeah, cool, but like right now, come on. And they're like, and I'm just sitting there reading this, like, I use it, like,
do you ever, like, do you ever get tempted to set up an alias and then just start going, no, Ocean's like much better than Eminem, man, and just sit back and watch it? Not that I would do that on any of my videos, but I just
ask.
Do you know what? Yeah, you get tempted, and then you scroll down and you see someone doing it for you, and you think, yeah, sick. Like,
yeah.
Like, you got, there's people out there that are supporting it massively to the point where they'll make outrageous statements like that, backing you up. And so, you know, it's all good. And
I always think it's dangerous to read the comments, because, like, I just get nervous that one day I'm going to read a comment where somebody's extensively planned how they'll kill me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Although I guess it would
be evidence.
It would be good to stumble onto that, yeah. Basically, there's lots of elements to what we did, because it's interesting you're talking about rapping quickly and you didn't want to make that your thing. Because I remember when I saw that article and I listened to quite a bit of your stuff, I thought the one thing that you wouldn't want is somebody to come to you thinking that that's all you're all about. And I think the thing that you've got is, obviously, you've got, like, the production. Is it Dirty? Did Dirty Dirt do everything?
Right.
So the production's amazing. But it's not just the fast rapping, but you also mix it up. And then also you can write a hook as well. Is that, are these all things that you'd sort of worked on and studied or thought about carefully?
I feel like the hook writing is something that's actually one of my favourite parts of it. So, like, if I was just going on what I thought personally I was bringing to the track, I'd say, okay, well, I know that my hook writing is, like, is one of my personal things that I think is, like, a personal tribute of mine, along with my the fast flow and that. But I'd say the hooks is something that I really enjoy doing. So that's always been, like, my sort of... I've always felt safe and comfortable in the knowledge that I can do my hooks. Because, like, the flow thing, the fast flow thing, it's all very... It's all, like... As a rapper, you want to be able to do the fast flow thing, and that's cool. But, like, there's other people that do the fast flow thing, but not everyone can, like, combine the thing. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to combine the fast flow with a good hook. And then people just have to, like... I don't know. I was hoping... I was trying to put people in a position where they had to appreciate it a little bit on some level. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's like... It's sort of, if you can write a hook, it just elevates the song, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Because
the thing is, there's so many artists. I always go back to, like, Cannabis, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you ever listened to Cannabis, but, like, he was, like, an amazing rapper, but just couldn't write a song. Like, couldn't write a song, basically. So it's just all verses. The verses are good, but you'd never ever want to listen to it ever again in your life. So
it's like a common thing. It's like a Achilles heel of most rappers.
Yeah.
Is that they just can't write the hooks.
And one-dimensional rappers, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of one-dimensional rappers. And, like, that's like the whole thing. It's like, you gotta... It's like, do you know what it's like? Yeah, it's like you can't go on MasterChef and just be like, oi, I make the most banging like roast.
Yeah.
And just get through and win on that. Do you know what I mean? You have
you've
to
got
be
to
able
do
to
risotto
do,
as well.
Got, yeah, you got to do risotto. And it's just like, people, rappers aren't trying to do the risotto, basically. Yeah.
It's hard to do risotto.
We might put that as a quote on the thing. Yeah. Ocean says that you can't fucking step your risotto game up,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And how did you get to, how did you hook up with High Focus?
I was working with Dirty Dyke before I hooked up with High Focus because right. through like a friend in Brighton. He's a bit older than me, but I had him like at the time I must have been about 16 or something, 17, and I was just with my mate who's the same age as Dyke, and they were friends. So they kind of, I happened to be with him, and then he was like, oh yeah, what's going on? I'll put round, I'm with my mate. And yeah, just put round, and then I think the person I was with was trying to record, but he was too drunk. That was it. He was trying to record something, and he wasn't drunk, but he just had a few too many that he couldn't get it the way he wanted to get it. And he was like, ah. And then Dyke was playing some beats, and I was just like, oi, that's a mad one.
Yeah.
And that was Walking, what he played. And
right,
then,
right.
And then I knew who Dirty Dyke was, and I liked his music and stuff, so I was just like quite keen to just like smash it out in one take. Just do it the best I could.
See me, I'm walking. Why? Cause I don't run, fam. Make a film about me, find a proper fucking stunt, man. I'm Captain Wiz and I'm actually shoving dirt in the dust, and I'm blowing it back in faces of wastemen who try and brush, man. I get a wheel in the club on a microphone. They didn't know I handle bars. It's a minor though. They offer me some gear, but I'm overtired. All this talk can make a bread. I wanna cycle home. Yo.
After that, because that went really well, that particular recording session. And by the end of it, we had Walking, and then I don't know what he thought, but he messaged me like, let's do another track. And then I went back, did another one, and then another one, and another one. And then I must have dropped the video for Walking on my channel, and it started getting views and getting heat and stuff. And then High Focus contacted them and were like, yeah, let's do an album.
And it is sort of the most exciting movement in UK hip hop, isn't it? High Focus, that whole collective, like everything they put out is good, right? Do you, this is what I was asking you about. So I just heard, is it, I can't remember which track it is, but on the new Flip Tricks album, you've got a guest verse.
And Burn It.
Yeah, called, yeah. And you smashed it, right? So do you, when you do the guest verses, because yeah. I know if I'm doing a gig with other comedians,
yeah,
I definitely want, I mean, my desire to see other comedians fail is absolutely paramount,
yeah.
But are you going in there thinking, I need to have
very Flip Tricks?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, not in a horrible way.
On a competitive one, yeah. That's the mentality. Like when he sent me the track, I was like, ooh, all right, all right, cool. And then I sat. That's the mentality. Like you sit down, you write the best thing you can.
Yeah.
And you go up and then you put it out there, and like, you know, he would have said to me, he'd have been like, bro, like, do the best you can, and I could call him up, I'd be like, oh bro, I don't know if you want to release this now. Do you know what I mean? It's all balanced, but at the same time, like, it's competitive.
Slapping a brother up on the back of the head if he tried to dress me wrong, and I best be strong if I man handle him, and then that's Anne Boleyn. In fact, that's execution from a standing swing, and as a matter of fact, I wouldn't stand by him when you get hit with a skull on a random thing. I see the minimum amount of animation given to a situation, now my brother's gonna handle it.
And but at the same time as well, like, we got different fan bases as well, and with different styles,
so
it's very easy for us to combine, because like, we're not stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah, yeah.
If there was like another Ocean Wisdom and he sent me his track and he was doing a skippy flow, I'd be a bit like, who's this guy? Oh, come on, let me demolish this guy quickly. And
if you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The one thing on your album is like, because obviously if people think fast rap or skippy flow or whatever, they think all the tracks are going to be really high tempo, but it's not the case. Like, for example, Devilish, right?
Yeah.
That's like one of my favourite tracks on the album.
Oh, thanks, man.
But that beat is proper like menacing.
Yeah.
And then your flow on the top of it is like, is it more difficult to flow to do it on a slower track or?
No, because I personally feel like I can notice when I see other rappers rapping, I can notice their thoughts easier on a slower track.
Right.
Because there's more like they don't try and do the skippy stuff, and then when they do the slow stuff, like, you can hear the sort of. So for me, when I have to slow it down, it's just an opportunity to like emphasize what I've been practicing on.
Because you've got shitloads of punchlines, right? And then when you're rapping really quickly, there's one bit like, there's one bit where you talk about somebody talking to you and he slept with his mum for the disrespect or something. Do you remember that? Right. Yeah. But look, when I
Shagged man's mum for the violation.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Shagged man's mum for the violation. You said it so quickly. I only caught it, I reckon, the fourth time I heard that song, right? So it's like, it sort of rewards, I guess, repeated listens. But I guess if you're doing a slower thing, are you conscious that you've got to make the lyrics, that the punchline's heavier? Like, you're sort of almost, you're not throwing them away when you're rapping quickly, but they're more difficult to catch, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I don't compromise on the bars when I go faster.
Yeah.
That's what I like to kind of stick to. But at the same time, if I'm doing a really slow lyric, it's like, I'm not trying to impress them with the flow necessarily.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to impress them with the lyrics, so I'm like, I'll be thinking more about the lyric when I'm writing it. Whereas if I've got a fast one, you've got to consider the flow and the lyric and make it work together.
Yeah.
But if the flow is really easy because it's a slow track and it's just simple, then you can just kind of like really branch out with the words. But I don't know, man, it's kind of, it depends from song to song, because some songs you hear a slow beat and I'll be like, even though it's a slow beat, a consistent flow on this track, like, it's going to work. And then you might hear a fast beat and you might think, oh, it's a fast beat, but I need to go complex on it as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of differs from track to track, really.
And do you think, like, are you thinking about what you're going to do next, like album-wise or record-wise, or are you sort of just pushing this album?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I'm kind of, I'm going to release another album pretty soon, but, like, not so soon that it's, like...
Steps on this one.
Yeah. I'm coming to the end of the tour of this one, and then next year, sort of, April time, May time, I'm going to drop another one,
right.
I think. That's the plan anyway. I'm kind of working on it. But it's weird because like I said, you got like your whole life to make the first one, and then you drop the first one and people are waiting on the second one, and you might have a year if you're being quick. And then out of that year, I've been touring for like 9 months of it. So now I'm just thinking, right, okay, let me take 3 months off and just like work on some music.
I did, when I did like my first Edinburgh, like my first full show, like our show, obviously you got ages, you pick all of your material and you go and do that show. And then I had to do Edinburgh the following year. And I remember like, I started writing the show straight away, and it got to like, because August Edinburgh, right? So you've got to work to August deadline to do your show. I remember like September, October, I've been gigging my ass off and I had about 15 minutes of stuff. And I thought, wicked, I'm fucking ahead of the game here. And then I sat back a bit, and then it got to fucking June. And I thought, shit, I've still only got that like 15 minutes, right? So I started writing my ass off and just going to gigs. And I was turning up at gigs, like doing material, going, please let this work, please let this work, because I need more minutes. And I remember I nearly had a panic attack the first night of Edinburgh, like, because like, I was sat backstage and the audience were coming in, and I started thinking, I've got a fucking show. This is a nightmare. What the hell am I going to do? Like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
In the end, it was all right. But that second show or second out, or that panic is... It's hard. Do you know what I mean? Because you sort of think,
I bet.
It's just like, it's just a pressure. Do you know what I mean? But
have you ever drawn a blank on stage? You ever been talking about something, forgot what you're talking about on stage?
Yeah, loads of times. Or, like I've, particularly doing new material, because like, I've sort of, you know, when you sort of you're going halfway for a bit and then you go, I don't know where this is going really.
Well, that gets an it's an easy laugh, isn't it, that one?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the number of laughs I get for going, well, that was shit. Do you know what I mean? But you can't build a career off.
Really,
I mean, I have
in
to a degree.
In a hip-hop tune.
Yeah, you can't do that on a. But yeah, sometimes you do go blank, or sometimes you just die. You just die on your ass. I mean, that's the thing with music. I guess you get crowds that are more like up for it than other crowds,
right? Yeah,
but with comedy you very quickly find out if it's going badly because you're playing a silence and then you just think fucking hell.
Yeah, you can put a beat on, you can't.
It's just like,
deafening silence.
I didn't really know, I couldn't relate until about 2 months ago we did that Red Bull thing. That was,
what was that?
That was a cappella.
Right.
So you're doing stuff a cappella, and like obviously, and it was a big lineup as well. A lot, like there was some big people in there. So I'm just there thinking, what? We all, none of us have got a beat. No, like everyone's just got to sit in silence for the whole show. And but it worked. It was cool. It was different. But when you step on stage and the beat doesn't start playing, and you can hear your own breathing on the microphone, I was just holding it like far enough away so that I couldn't hear myself breathe because that throws me off. That sort of stuff.
Imagine watching a comedian do half an hour and you can hear his breathing because there's no laughter. That's what happened to me. I thought
and heavy swallowing, lots of gulps.
you can hear him thinking about what other job he's gonna do after this. Horrible, mate. But it is hard.
I had cramp on stage the other day in Bulgaria, and it was actually I thought I was just gonna laugh it off and be fine, and by the time I got on stage it was gonna be cool because it was at a ski resort. We had been skiing the day before, and the owls were on stage and they just see me coming round the side. I was about to play after them and they just see me limping round and they're like looking at me like, what's going on? I was late and I get on stage and this was cramping my hamstring. So it wasn't like a small cramp, it was a big cramp. I was just there leaning forward, like deep breathing. And then I had to do my set. So I've just walked on the middle of the stage, like slumped forward, like as much as you can be. I've just gone like, look, I don't even know if you can understand me, but I've just been skiing all day yesterday. I had a great time and like, I can't walk now, really. Yeah. I've had to stand there, like, deep breathing. I've got through the whole set. It must have worn off about half an hour into it, but it was definitely eventful. They're all looking at me weirdly.
This isn't the same thing, but I am on tour at the moment. I did Southend and I'd had a really dodgy curry, like, the night before, right? So the show's in two halves. So I did the first half, fine. Literally, just about to walk on, and like the tour manager, the guy about to go, are you ready? I went, yeah. As soon as they started the music for me to go on, my need a shitometer went up to 100, right? And I was just stood there like, oh fuck, they started the intro music. I can't go, this ain't gonna happen. So I walked on, honestly, man, like, I was sweating, like I was properly sweating for like half an hour.
You're saying anything to him?
Well, I didn't mention it, but I was doing the stand-up, like just doing the show, just going, oh my God, I'm actually going to shit myself. And then I thought, I might try and fart my way out of it. Right? But then I thought, the front row was so close. Yeah. I was just thinking, they're going to get distracted if like I'm doing this stuff and then it's like a fucking chemical weapon's gone off. Do you know what I mean? It was horrible. And then after about 35, what a disgusting story. But after about 35 minutes, I was all right. But as soon as I finished, mate.
You were all right, were you? As soon as you finished,
As soon as I finished my set, I literally, mate, I ran.
Yeah,
I punched the tour manager to get him out of the way.
It's just like me every show.
Hoping it wouldn't be a standing ovation.
Well, I was going to say, but I didn't want to land a minute, but he said himself, so I'm all right.
Every show, I've got to go out and run the beat before Ocean comes on. I'm absolutely fine, like, I prep myself.
Yeah.
I go out there, flick the channel up, as soon as I do, I need a shit. And like sometimes there's a toilet backstage, but we played a club like the other week, we were in Switzerland, and to get to the toilet I had to like barge my way through about 1,000 people, like packing the dance floor.
And then you've got to go to a toilet that's been used by 1,000 people.
Yeah, so I started running the beat, and then I've just had to jump off the stage and like push my way through the crowd. Everyone's trying to like.
Everyone's
grab
going. DJ Putnam's having a shit. DJ Putnam's having a shit.
That way. Get to the toilet. There's like an inch thick and piss. Oh, but
bad times, man.
What did you do? You still went for a shit?
Oh yeah, I just had to squat from a height and just, you know, like the
standard.
Have you thought about playing a less bassy track? Like at the beginning, because that's probably what's happening.
That's what you're saying earlier, it's devilish, mate, when the bass kicks
in. There you go, devilish.
It's bad.
It's really,
or Ewok even.
Ewok's
that's two tracks in. It comes with a boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've made it through devilish, you're like, okay, I'm gonna be alright.
If you make it through devilish, make sure you don't break the seal on Ewok and then you'll be fine. Do you know what I mean?
Oh man. Hip hop greats.
I want to ask you about live, because like one of the things we always talk about is that we don't that live hip hop doesn't match up to the recorded stuff. I wanted to particularly ask you about this because it's so difficult to do your lyrics live, I imagine. Because some people talk about, I've seen rappers in interviews talk about how sometimes they have to adjust their verses when they're doing it live and stuff like that. How do you find it?
No one from High Focus said that, did they? They
have to No.
That's not cool, man. People doing that, that's like, I don't rate that. Like, for me personally, I always thought, like, a lot of rappers jump about on stage and like, dab and twerk and do all that sort of weirdness, yeah? Because they think that makes their show better. I'll sooner stand there with my eyes closed, stood completely still and get every lyric right before I walk around. So that's what I used to do. I used to just stand still on stage for the whole set. In between songs, I'd walk about and engage with the crowd. But when I was rapping, I'd just stand still because I'd never miss a word, ever. Like, I never really miss a word. If I miss a word, I'll be annoyed about it. And I'll know, like, when I did High Street last week, I messed up on... Well, I didn't mess up, but I had to take a breath.
Yeah.
And that will annoy me, do you know what I mean? My main thing is getting it spot on. And then that's why I started doing running and all sorts of things like that, because my cardio wasn't good enough to be able to move about on stage and do all the lyrics. It was just about good enough to pretty much do the lyrics, leave out a bar at the end every so often and move around a bit. Whereas now I've got it so that I can kind of hop around as much as I'd want to, get all my lyrics on point, and then there's certain flows and bars that I know I have to just stand still for.
Right.
Make sure I'm not using too much oxygen on jumping about, because there's been a few times where I've tried to stick to it. Like, I've had my rule that, like, I'm not going to miss a word out, and then I've gone all starry.
Fuck, really?
Yeah, nearly passed out, and then, like, just got to hold it down. And then I think that happened twice, and I was, every time I'd come off stage, I'd be like, when I first started my tour, I'd be like dripping in sweat, but like not to the point where it's normal, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, and then I'd come off and be all shivery and weird, and like I'd have to go to sleep and stuff. Like, it wasn't cool.
It's
hot in the club as well, and it's just generally weird. And then I realised quickly that you have to do a lot of cardio if you want to be able to be on stage jumping about and doing the lyrics and getting it on.
Jesus,
point.
So you've actually properly worked at it. Like,
yeah, I drink water all the time and super like stay on point with that sort of stuff, just to like keep things running smoothly. Do you know what I mean?
If the thing is, if you don't,
it's not worth it. It's like I've done probably about 10% more shows this year because I've stayed on point and like done my cardio and not got drunk and stuff at the venues and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's important. You can't do 5 shows in a row doing what I do, or 3 shows in a row.
Yeah.
Unless you finish your show, you have like a lemon and ginger and honey, you drink it, you go back to your hotel, like you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, don't talk to anyone for the whole day, sip on your tea, eat your strepsils, get to the place, don't even do a sound check more than you need to.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you do the show, and then same thing. That's the only way you can do more than 2 or 3 shows in a row. So like, you have to, that's why like most hip hop people won't do more than 2-3 shows in a row. So like, it's important to like keep your...
I can't imagine there's many people that have worked on their cardio to improve their
It's because the opportunity was there. I created the opportunity for myself to do something, and I feel like if every rapper had the opportunity that I was presented with once the album dropped, and they were like, oh look, it's been received well, you could go and tour this and do this and do that. I think then, if they're presented with that opportunity, they might make the decision after the first show where they couldn't breathe. They might make the decision.
Yeah.
But it's just because it's a weird situation, do you know what I mean? Like, I've gone from not being known to being on tours doing loads of shows and stuff. So it was a very clear decision that I had to make. It was like, am I going to do this? Or am I going to just, like, do a few and lose my voice completely?
How much do you get recognised now?
It depends where I am, really. Like, it depends where I am.
In Brighton,
it, like... Yeah, like, I don't know. It's weird saying it about yourself, isn't it? Because I don't know, from my point of view.
I don't mind saying, I get recognised a lot, man. I'm quite a big fucking deal. No, I'm joking.
I'm trying.
In Brighton, like, I wouldn't go out in Brighton, out clubbing and that. That would be weird. Like, I wouldn't be able to have a nice time with my friends, do you know what I mean?
Do you ever get.
If I was, like, in Crawley, I'd probably be alright bopping around.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a big deal. Might get 1 or 2 or 3 or 4.
But you must do you not get people wanting to battle you or something, or like try and do some
kids want to show you a verse, don't they?
I have kids come up to me and they're just like, you're gonna know about me. You're gonna know about me. Like, they look like you know them, you know when you have the moment with like someone that you respect or whatever, and like he wants that to stay in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, comes up to me like slapping, he's like, you gonna remember me. And then you're like, all right, cool, wicked, I'll look out for you. And that's that. And then you have a few
sweaty kids spitting aggressive 16.
Yeah, aggressive.
Are you
16.
Serious?
Yeah, like in clubs and that, you might have someone like, oh, can I show you my bar? And I like to try and be, so I know a lot of rappers in the scene that are doing their thing at the moment that are properly not very nice to their fans.
Right.
Not on High Focus. Everyone's decent on High Focus, but especially in the grime scene, you get a lot of big names that will just be like, no, if you ask them for a picture and stuff like that. And I'm not like that. Do you know what I mean? I'll sit and like the other day we was in Exeter doing a show. We were doing a lot of pictures and stuff like that. And it was getting to the point where it was like we were dripping in sweat, like just come off stage, wanted to just duck out. But it's worth it because it's an extra 10, 15 minutes and then all them people, they respect that you did that.
I was doing Wolverhampton like about a week ago and finished the show. Just got ready and I thought the same as you. I thought I'm going to be nice to people, you know, sign shit. And I came out the door and there's like loads of people. And I was like, okay, guys, no worries. And they're actually waiting for a band that was playing in the other room. I just made a massive dick of myself. I was like, yeah, what would you... I don't know the fuck you are.
That happened to... Now, I won't name names yet because it's kind of peak, but that happened to someone the other day where... It was a rapper we were stood next to and some kids came up and asked for a picture and we took the picture and then they like turned to the rapper like and the rapper was like, nah, that's all right, no pictures. And the guy was like, nah, can you hold the camera?
Oh my God.
Too funny, man. It happens though. You don't want to walk in too like headstrong, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could just end badly. But to be honest, that's one thing where I'd do my absolute very best to never let that sort of stuff annoy me because it's all positive, isn't it, really, at the end of the day. Sometimes you're not in the mood to be chatting with people. Like, I like to walk around and just like I might want to walk to Sainsbury's and get a water wearing my shoes with rips in them.
Yeah.
But if I do that and then I see some eager little rapper that wants to try and mug me off by taking pictures and putting it on social media or something, like, yo, my man can't afford Crips now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. Like, you can't go out with, you're worried that people are looking at you, judging you, and them sort of things. So, like, that's the only thing I don't like about it. But other than that, it's like verification that you're doing your thing and people rate it and are feeling it. So I love it, man. If it stopped, I think it's one of the things, if it stopped happening, it'd be quite like, oh shit,
messed up. You'd be like, really, I'm really annoyed about, oh no, it's not, nobody's approached me, shit.
Yeah.
Ramesh is just checking what shoes he's wearing.
No, I don't, it's not a problem for comedians.
It's not ripped.
Yeah.
No, you're good. No.
Anyway, what are you listening to at the moment? Do you listen to hip hop or are you just so sick of it?
Nah, I don't really.
Yeah.
If I'm honest with you. Unless like it's someone that I know and respect, and then I'll listen to their new project I'm a fan of a lot of individuals in the hip hop scene. Yeah. But as of, with regard to like what I listen to on a regular basis,
do you listen to other music then, non hip hop stuff?
I'd say non hip hop. I wouldn't necessarily say like non rap. I do listen to like a. I'll listen to like a bit like this. I might listen to the Fugees. That's hip hop still, but it's like it's not UK hip hop. It's not what you're immediately thinking. But for me at the moment, I'm listening to this guy called Django.
Right.
French guy.
God damn. Mon gars, je fais ce qui me plaît. T'es qu'une putain, c'est tes fesses qui te pêchent. Chevalier de noir vêtu, je suis dans le thème Chris Bell. J'ai des problèmes d'attitude, je suis dans le training day. Bientôt j'ai ma carte sob, j'ai que de l'eau dans ma cristalline. Ralenti comme au début, j'entends le 8 Spanish. Tabac cavalier inversé comme en kit main libre.
Cause he's mad, he's sick. That's why, but it's just because we was doing a show in Switzerland the other day and these guys come and pick us up and they were playing this music and I was like, yo, who's this guy?
Yeah.
A little bit hooked on French trap.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, really?
Basically at the moment. Yeah, our neighbours are getting vexed with us, but it's a French trap thing at the moment. He's got a mad flow. And I've been listening.
Is it in French?
It's in French,
right,
yeah.
Right, okay.
That's why I quite like it, because I feel like in the UK, I don't really know who's doing... Because I like listening to like hype stuff, double time, mixed with a sick hook. I like listening to music that I make, sort of thing. That's why I make it. And like that's the sort of... When I can hear a bit of that in someone else, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to listen to.
Yeah.
Because that's just... For me, you got to mix like the skills of the bars with the catchiness of the hook or whatever, and then you've got a good tune there, and he does that quite well. He's got a mad
Django.
He's called Django. Yeah,
check out Django. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you very quickly, Real Smooth,
yeah,
that video, You look like such a bad man in that video, don't you? Right. Yeah, so was that a deliberate fix? So that video, it's you in the 4 hours. I love that track. Mm. The hook is amazing. The beat is such a good track.
I love that track.
But there's this thing where you're just sort of walking around. Mm. Is that a deliberate? Did you just say I just want to look amazing? Was that your whole idea? Was that the concept for the video? Because it made me want to make a rap video.
Oh yeah.
Like, honestly, because I just sort of thought, shit, man, I want to do that.
No, do you know what? Yeah, that's that aspect of. How do I say it? That aspect of hip hop has been lost in the UK.
Yeah.
That whole like, no, I'm a rapper. I'm not. Do you know what I mean? I'm a rapper. This is me doing my thing as a rapper. And now, so when someone does it, it's a bit like, oh, what? Do you know what I mean? I feel like that was the vibe there. But obviously, it was never my intention to like try and like dress a certain way.
Yeah.
I was just. I felt the vibe of the song. It was real smooth, real icy. It's a cool song. Do you know what I mean? So obviously I had to dress in a certain way. I do actually dress like that all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Like most of the time. I don't like that. I try and like...
He looks great, by the way, now.
Trampy or whatever.
Yeah.
this is the leaf look.
Yeah.
Camouflage by view. But yeah, no, I think it was the vibe of the song what made it seem like that, and combined with the fact that I was looking a bit smarter than usual.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that was why. But also Crooks and Castles, this... I work with them a lot.
Yeah.
And that's their jacket and like their bits and bobs.
Yeah.
So like it helps when all the stuff's new and those sort of things, you know what I mean? I wasn't trying anything too subtle there. The house was wearing jackies and that's it. The contrast was real.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Listen, man, I've got to tell you, I think you're such an amazing artist. It's so good to have you here.
Thanks, bro.
I think the album is like, it's incredible. It's properly incredible. Is there anything you want to plug or say that you're going to, are you still on tour? Can people still buy?
I've only got 3 shows left and two of them, I've got Switzerland next week, Luxembourg the day after that, and then we're back in the UK for Bristol.
Right.
That's going to be sick. Just working on the new stuff.
Yeah.
Look out for some. Yeah, I got the merch dropping.
Okay.
That's going to be sick. That's all ready to go. Just the new album. People just need to keep an eye out for that.
Listen, if you haven't listened to any of Ocean Wisdom, you need to, honestly, it's incredible. So make sure you check it out. Putnam, Ocean, thank you so much for coming in, man.
Pleasure,
I appreciate
man. Pleasure,
it.
Man.
Bye, Rupert.
Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.